Rockin' Rich.
All right, this thing on, Rocky?
Oh, my stars.
Okay, Rocky, so we have one of the most inspiring stories. It's really Rudy of baseball, but I don't even want to think about it that way. Rudy was the Ricky of football.
Right?
Because you came first. Is that right? Wait.
I don't care, man. No, who cares? But this is amazing. This is crazy.
Okay, so we have Ricky Hill, former Major League Baseball player, here, and there is a movie coming out right around the corner, Rocky.
Yeah, a legit movie.
August 25th. Right, yeah. Ricky?
Yes, sir.
About his life.
Who knew?
Rocky.
This is going to be really cool. I can't wait to see this movie.
Playing a professional sport, Ricky, and you know because you've been there, is incredibly difficult if everything is perfect with you physically. It is damn near impossible.
That's actually right.
It's true, right?
You can't blink.
No,
you cannot hit a ball.
You can't sneeze at the wrong time. Okay?
You cannot.
You overcame a disability when you were a kid and then went on to play Major League Baseball. Absolutely freaking incredible.
Yeah, and Ricky, thank you for coming on our show.
Yeah, seriously, thank you. We're honored to have you here for sure. I mean, he's live in the studio. I can
already tell this is going to be probably the funnest one I've had.
All right.
My man.
I'm just going to tell you that I did a little bit of research on you, and now I've gotten to know you a little bit before the show, and you're just one of those hardcore people that it is just
unapologetically him.
It's just not going to stop you, and that's what the whole dude.
Unbelievable.
My dad had polio, and he was in braces and got bullied and teased mercilessly.
Yep. So did Ricky,
and it so affected his life.
Yeah.
In a positive way.
That's right.
And I see what Rick did, and wow, what a crazy dude. Making it
I don't even know where to start with this.
I know,
because
making
honestly,
it in the MLB,
unbelievable.
Without legs, pretty much.
Okay, let's go back. Rocky, we're going to go back in the time machine.
Okay,
okay?
Let's go.
We're going to go way back to when you were 4 years old, Ricky.
Okay,
you played in the late 70s and early 80s. Or whatever,
that's right, right. Yes. Okay.
Take us back to your life. When you were growing up, when you first realized something was wrong. And guys, I know we're shortcutting this totally. We just don't have 3 hours.
Yeah, well.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but this is, yeah, I still want to get the good, clean, nutshell version.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Oh, well, we can come back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we can do a part 2.
Okay.
That's a great idea. I'm down, yeah. Okay.
Okay, Ricky, so you're 4 years old, 5 years old. You have braces on.
Right.
Your first recollection of when you were a kid.
Right.
Because most of us, we don't remember what it was like when we were two, Rocky.
Do you remember when you first realized that you weren't the same as the other kids?
Yeah, like everyone else.
Yeah, when I was when I would go to people's houses and scar their floors up.
With your braces.
With my braces.
Really?
Yeah, then we would never get invited over again.
Would your parents go, what the heck, Ricky? Why'd you scar them?
No, never did. Would say anything about them. And we would go over to people's houses at our church and on Sundays, and then I would tear their floors up, and then we'd leave, go home, and then we'd never get invited back at that. Then we have to go to another family the next Sunday.
So, because the floors.
Tearing the floors then, up.
Yeah, they were wood.
They were wood floors.
Wood floors, yeah.
Right.
So the braces. Okay, so your dad was a preacher.
Right, exactly.
And you were in where? Holtham City? Where?
No, I was in, at that time, I was in. We just left, and we started on the road. It was really on the first year of my dad preaching, not knowing he's a rookie, so he doesn't know much about the word.
Sure.
Got me, but he's learning.
Yeah,
and on the road, he got called in the ministry as a real pastor. How's that?
Wow,
real preacher. And so
nice.
We go on the road, and we started in Newark, Texas, Boyd, Texas, Bowie, Texas, Wichita Falls, Texas.
Yeah.
Wichita Wise Falls, County. All the way. That's right, all the way back to all the way back to Waco, Texas, and then all the way back to Fort Worth, Texas.
Wow!
So I landed. We landed back in Fort Worth. which was a blessing for us because, I mean, we went from, at first my dad was making money. I didn't know this because I'm just a young boy, young little boy. He's making money, working downtown Fort Worth, making money. And then all of a sudden we go from making money to not having a dime to our name.
Different kind of preaching back then.
Yeah.
Did he wake up one day and go, I've been called into the ministry?
Nope, he did not. He had a church shag him down one afternoon. My dad ran from him in the backyard. And when he got in the backyard, they followed him. And they followed him in the backyard. My dad gave his life to Christ at 27 years old and gave his life to Christ. And my mother was so thrilled that he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And then the next thing you know, 3 weeks later, Jesus Christ called him into the ministry.
Wow.
A real calling. Because you'd almost have to, you'd have to know it was a real calling because you should have seen him. His life had changed from a pool player, drunk, drinking every night, getting in fights every night, and all these things every night, to the biggest change of a lifetime.
You saw it.
So
got to see it.
Okay, so you, how old were you then?
I just turned 4.
Okay, wow. And did you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have an older brother and older sister.
Did they have any issues with their legs and back?
No, nobody did. I was the only one. My grandmother was born with it. My great-grandmother, too. They were both in wheelchairs.
Okay.
One at 38, one at 42 in wheelchairs. Same disease.
What?
Same disease I had.
How old are you right now?
Right now, I'm 66.
You look fantastic now. I mean, you have that bum knee from falling the other day at the golf course.
But. Yeah, but I also have 9 screws in my spine, 6 cages, and a rod that's 14 inches in my spine.
Good night. Okay, so let's, first of all, real quick, the movie, The Hill, comes out August 25th. So go see the movie, and it tells the complete story in the movie, and that you got a book coming and all that other stuff too.
Yes, sir.
I'm curious, did Dennis Quaid do a good job portraying your dad? Did he capture your dad?
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. I can't even begin to tell you how good it was.
But Dennis Quaid's a real Christian, and he did this for a reason.
He did. You know, I think that's one of the reasons he took it. Not just that, because he even said this himself to other. He had to look at my director, and he goes, "Is this story really true? Come on,
that's what I'm talking about."
Yeah, it's true.
And there you were. Okay, can you explain to everyone what your handicap was, your disability? I don't know, handicap, disability.
You know, it's hard to really figure out, but it all really started with the spine.
Okay,
the spine having no disc. When you were born, like my grandmother, like both grandmothers that I mentioned just a while ago, both of them at 38 and 42 years old in wheelchairs because they can't walk.
Golly, could you imagine?
They have no disc at all. And when you have no disc, you do not walk. You can't move your legs. That's it. It's over.
Wow.
And that's what you were born with.
I was born with it.
So you had
brace. I didn't know that at the time.
It's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
So you had these braces then tearing up these other people's floors.
Yep.
And people, we mentioned before yesterday at lunch, they would make fun of you.
All the time.
God, we just live in a cruel world, don't we?
Yeah. What would you do when they would make fun of you? Would you just bottle it up? Would you fight back? How did that play out?
Well, truthfully?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, I finally went to my dad. This was in the second grade. Yeah, I made it in the second grade there in Boyd, Texas.
Yeah.
And I had one guy that picked on me all the time because he's 5 years older. And he would trip me every day on the school bus, every day. And I got tired of it. And because I do have a temper on me, you know, I was born with it.
Yeah.
I was born with a temper and I always, even though that happened, I always practiced Muhammad Ali, even with braces on. I'd practice Muhammad Ali.
That's awesome.
Okay, I loved it. I mean, I love Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
But I never would get to watch him, but I'd have to go to somebody's house that had a TV because we didn't have a TV.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But saying that, I knew how to fight.
Float like a butterfly.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I could do that. I could do anything. I mean, I could do anything. Kind of like in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things
yep.
Yep.
with Christ who strengthens me. Right. Well, I took that verse right there and I used every bit of it. Awesome. And so saying that, I had finally, and I have never put this on the air to anyone, but I went to my dad one day and I said, Dad, and now he's got to remember, he's only in his third year of ministry. I said, told my father, I said, Dad, listen, I'm not going to school tomorrow. He said, yes, you are. And I said, no, I'm not. He said, yes, you are. I said, no, I'm not. He said, and why? You explain to me why. I said, I'm getting tired of getting kicked around on that bus. I'm getting tired of getting tripped on this bus. I'm getting tired of this mess.
And you're only, what was that?
At that time, I'm 7 years old. I'm 7 years old at that time. And this is a good story, guys, because this is the first time I've ever told it on the air. Okay? It is the first time.
Awesome.
Here we go, Rob.
Here it is. This is it. This is the first time I've ever mentioned it on the air. I looked at my father. My father was a genuine great. When I say great, put him at the very top. Billy Graham can't touch my father. Nobody can touch my father. No one. My dad looked at me and he said, son, I didn't read in the Bible anywhere. It said to turn the other cheek at a specific time. He said, so you can maybe turn the other cheek after.
He found a technicality for you.
He did. He did. He found a glitch in the system.
Yeah, he did.
When he said about God turning the other cheek, I said, and I looked at my dad, I'm going, wow, what am I catching here? What am I catching from my father?
You're being granted clearance for takeoff.
Yeah. That's right. You're exactly right. I'm
beat someone's ass.
That's right. My dad said, and I know you, son, because I know you don't lose. Mm. Because I know you. He said, so you do what you need to do. You heard what I said. Mm. He said, I didn't hear anywhere in the Bible when it said, God said, turn the other cheek. Mm. And so the next day, sure enough, same thing happened again. I'll cut it short. Same thing happened again. I went to the very, very back of the bus. I untied my braces.
So they would trip you, like, walking down the...
Yeah, trip me. It didn't matter. Somebody's tripping me.
Okay, okay.
You're putting on your gloves, taking off your braces.
That's right. I'm taking off my braces, and I'm using them as gloves. I took off the braces, and they were made of bars. Bars, I'm talking about.
Oh, like metal bars.
Steel bars.
Well, they scratched up the living room. Yeah. All right.
They're made of bars going down my legs, and I took the bars off, and I totally walked right behind the man who did it nearly to me every day, and I laid it right across the back of his head.
No.
And I knocked him out cold, and while he was laying on the ground cold, I hit him again and again.
No, you didn't.
And the bus driver come running back there, and he was going, praise God, he finally did it.
Yay, Ricky.
The bus driver was totally behind it. I mean, he loved it, because he's tired of this bully bullied me.
Yeah.
That's 5-6 years older than me as well. And by the way, he was a star baseball player.
He had every bit of that coming.
He had every bit of it coming. He really did.
Wow.
And then I came home that day with a smile on my face, and I looked at my dad. My dad looked at me, and he winked.
He knew.
And I winked. We're at the dinner table. We winked at each other.
He's winking right now.
Like that. He did that wink, and I went,
oh, yeah.
And he already knew that Ricky took care of things.
Yes.
I took care of David.
Goliath.
Taking down Goliath, baby. I took care of business. And guess what? The whole school never messed with me again.
You know what? He was born with this mentality. You were.
I was.
I mean, because, Rocky, when you see people that overcome obstacles, there are indications in their past that they're just wired different.
There's only two reactions to that kind of a problem when you're born. You're either a victim or not.
Right. And he was not a victim.
Well, yeah, refusing to be a victim, and I love it. I love it. Great story. Thank you.
So, thanks for telling
me. First time
that.
I've ever heard it, and I've been on...
Well, he does
probably 5,000 radio shows.
Oh, man. This is
way
great.
Way to go, Rock. Here we go, Rock. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So, hey, okay, so... Yeah, When did you first pick up a baseball bat, by the way?
Well, I never could really afford a bat because of we had no money.
Right.
None. So we would carve out sticks, and which you will see in the movie. You're going to, you know, the movie The Blind Side, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You're going to be blindsided by The Blind Side. You're going to be blind. We're going to blindside The Blind Side.
Watching the trailer, I kind of got the sense that your dad was right behind you and terrified that you were going to get out there and hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Sure.
Or what was the, when you told him, I mean, did he see you swinging the wood at first? How did that kind of play
out? He knew his son was, I was born with talent that was unlimited, and he knew it. And he could not even believe it himself, the stuff that I would do. Because, you know, hitting rocks with a stick is not easy. When you make the homemade stick, you have to have an eye for the ball, or really an eye. Think about it.
You know what? He's right. Just think about all of the technical bullcrap that they do today and all these facilities and all this stuff. Yeah, and this guy made it to the major leagues with a disability, hitting rocks with a stick.
Right, hitting rocks. I hit them all day long, guys, because of one big reason. They were free. It didn't cost no money.
I'm curious about how it almost feels like, Ricky, that if you had not had this disability and had this mountain to climb, maybe you wouldn't have become the batter that you became. You wouldn't have had any challenges. I mean, it's almost like you had to work so hard just to get to the starting line.
Reminds me of Witten a little bit.
Yeah, and the Navy SEALs will tell you that you don't want to show up to training in the best condition of your life because they are going to break you. And it's if you get broken at your very peak, then there's nowhere else to go.
Whoa.
Pretty hardcore, man. But this kind of sounds like the same thing. You had a mountain to climb before you even got there. Right. Everybody else just had this natural talent. They showed up and they're just a gifted athlete, and all this stuff works perfectly. You, on the other hand, all you had was a spirit of a warrior and the body of a broken kid.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. Everything was broken. Yeah. Everything.
Was broken. How old were you when you started playing baseball? Like,
actually, in real competitively, baseball was, I broke at 8 years old. I said, I'm not wearing these braces anymore. My family was against it. You got to remember, I wore about 7 or 8 different types of braces. And then finally, the last ones that I wore that's in the movie, I decided one day I'm going to knock them off. I knocked them off. You know, you had to knock them off with something, and I knocked them off.
And that's the end of that,
That's the end of that, and I took them off. I took them braces off and went home that afternoon to my father and mother that night for dinner, and next thing you know, I let my father know, hey, there's no more braces for me. And by the way, believe it or not, people think my legs were little and frail. With those braces, they got huge.
Oh, because you have to lift them.
Yes, I'm
heavy.
Doing so much harder work than anyone else.
So I get it now. He's building up his muscles and tendons.
And also everything else around me was started getting large.
Oh, in your core was.
Or everything was so large that it was just blowing my mind. And by the way, it was bursting at the seams. Why? Because my mother was born large. You know, I was born 11 pounds and 4 ounces. And my mother,
11 pounds.
Yeah, and then with my legs wrapped around, messed up, which back then you got to remember, everything was exploratory.
Yep.
So I was born with being pretty large as it is. And then secondly, when I hit 8 years old, like you said, I yanked them off. And then at 9 years old, I got in my first baseball league. And got to use my really first baseball bat, and hitting a baseball was like stepping on baby chickens.
Like a chip shot.
Yeah, like a chip shot.
He was used to hitting like these little rocks, so it was probably like a beach ball.
You told some kid that was asking your advice about how to hit that you take 500 shadow cuts a day.
Exactly.
When did that start?
Well, I don't know where you got that. I'm shocked that you know that. I took 500 from 10 years on. From 10 years on, I took 500 shadow cuts a day. And that's where
Can you explain to everybody what a shadow cut is?
A shadow cut is when you stand at the plate, and all you do is you swing the bat, and you swing it, and you start your rhythm like a golfer setting up, getting ready for his rhythm to hit a great golf shot.
So he's basically creating muscle memory.
That's right.
That's what he's doing.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
And I took 500 of those a day, which did not help my spine either at all. It's what made spine. Yeah, the twisting so tough, and it didn't help my spine at all. No, but I did it. I did 500 a day. If I could do 1,000, I would have.
God, that sounds like Kobe Bryant.
So he, you know what? He was obsessive about, just like Kobe Bryant, he was obsessive about getting better. The game was, or how you would do in a game was a byproduct of you just being obsessive about playing.
Absolutely.
About practicing.
Yeah, just a result, man.
Yeah, that's all it is. Man, when did your parents realize that, wait a minute, he's on to something? Like, maybe he really is baseball.
Well, when I was 10, then the next year I'm 10 years old. And then we moved back to Fort Worth, Texas. And we moved back, and they got me in Little League. And I turned around, and 10, 11, and 12-year-olds play together, right? And I led the league in home runs, runs batted in. And
wow,
oh yeah, no, I did, and I think I hit like 575 or something like that.
There's a huge difference. Wow. As you know, you got kids between 9 and 12, 10 and 12. There's a giant a gulf.
Huge.
It was nothing for me to hit a home run at 10 when I'm playing guys with 12 and getting the ball out of the fence. I don't count an inside park home run a home run. Because there was no such thing for me because I did not have the speed.
But I had to hit it.
So
you had this. You had hand-eye coordination to hit a baseball. I mean,
well, he had to get it out of the park because he wasn't fast enough to run around the bases.
Gosh, man, this is just so crazy.
This is awesome.
So whenever, I mean, obviously, even back then, playing baseball in Texas, it was competitive. Like,
yes,
you know, like it is today. Really, of course, now we have like umpteen million leagues and travel.
Dude, he was seeing 104 mile an hour fastballs. This was not like when baseball was created.
No, yeah, when he made it up to that. This is like,
yeah, they were the same athletes, man. They were just as hardcore then as they are, probably more so because everybody's such a baby these days.
Man, I know. Okay, so you get to high school,
right?
You start playing in high school,
yes.
And you weren't stealing, you weren't running. So how was that affecting your play? Like your play? I can't even comprehend. Like how can you not run and play a sport or not run well?
Well, you know what? I couldn't run well, but I was picking up my pace very well.
Because you played in the outfield, to be clear.
Yes.
And you have to be somewhat fast or quick.
I was quick.
Yeah.
Very quick.
Okay.
I could get a jump on the ball. I knew where the ball was going before he ever even hit it.
You had to. You had to figure that out.
You could read the
baseball. I did. I could pick up the ball so fast. It was just amazing to me that God gave me this ability that I could pick the ball coming off the bat.
Was your mom 100% your biggest fan?
She was a great fan. I mean, my mother didn't make it to the games either, but every night my mother and dad were my biggest fans at night because they were building the church like God had called them to do.
Yeah.
They're doing their job. I'm doing my job, same time.
Wow. I tell you what, we're going to get, there's another tragedy coming, and we're going to get to that in just a second. We're going to take a real quick break.
You got it.
And then we're going to be right back with Ricky Hill. There's a freaking movie about his life.
Yep.
You know you've done something extraordinary when they make a movie about you.
Yeah, we need to talk about that a little bit, too.
You're getting nowhere, Rocky.
I know. Nobody's going to make a movie about us. We suck.
Horrible. We'll be right back with Ricky Hill.
Okay, great.
Hey, guys. It's Rich here from Rockin' Rich. Okay, most of you know that I have dealt with hip issues my entire life. And you know what? With hip issues becomes inflammation. And I would deal with that pain every single day. I don't deal with it anymore. Why? Because I take Curcumin Pro every single day. And in fact, in the studio right now, I have an advocate for Curcumin Pro. His name is Ricky Hill, former Major League Baseball player. He played with inflammation his entire life. Why? Because he was disabled as a kid. Ricky, tell them about Curcumin Pro.
Well, I'll say this much. At first, I didn't believe it, period. I just had a lot of question marks about it. After the third, 6 month, especially the ninth month, it totally changed my life. The inflammation that I had running throughout my body, which was in my entire body, it was gone. And I'm just very blessed and thankful for it.
Wow. I tell you what, we are big advocates for Curcumin Pro because it works. If you deal with inflammation, Curcumin Pro is the best product on the market, period. Feel the feeling.
Absolutely.
CurcuminPro.com. And Rocky, we're back.
Okay.
Tragedy strikes.
Yeah. So tell us what we're about to find out about the second tragedy.
Yeah, Ricky, these obstacles and unbelievable. So
this was a big backbreaker for me.
No pun intended.
Yeah, exactly. 17 years old. I was in the outfield and a fly ball was hit to me. And I was running as hard as I could to get to it because I had to catch it. I was going to catch it no matter what. And when I did, I stepped into a sprinkler head that they forgot to cover. And my leg kind of went down it and snapped my ankle, fractured. It was fractured. The bone came flying through. And that was a big change. You know, I've been through everything else in my life. You know, how can you defeat this right here? Because it's like an Achilles tendon.
Right.
You can't get over it.
Right.
And
did you hear it?
Oh, yeah, I heard it. You know, normally, you know, when you get delirious or you have or you get in a position like this, you don't hurt.
Yep.
You're so far beyond.
Your body went.
Yeah, your
shock.
Body's yep. in shock. You
Been
don't
there.
Really hurt.
Yep.
Well, this I hurt all the way through, and I had to go to the hospital, and immediately they let me know that this thing is just totally a wreck. And then it's in the movie, by the way, about me doing it, and tell me that I'll be lucky if I ever walk correct again. I've already been through hell my whole life, and then finally, you know, get that break, and then all of a sudden this happens. The St. Louis Cardinals at that time was looking at drafting me number one, and it was really an upset, and then not one soul wanted me because they knew it was over.
Wow. So, okay, where are your parents right here at this point?
My parents are still building the church, and when I say building, I'm talking about building the church, including with your hands, then trying to get the people full, and or getting the people inside the church. Yeah. And naturally, they weren't there the day that happened, but they were still building the church. And then, like my father said, son, you know, God's got a higher calling for you. And it's in the movie. It says that as well. But they were always there for me. Always, period. Except the fact that they couldn't see me play because they worked Monday through Sunday doing their job, what they were supposed to be doing, what they were called to do. I wasn't called to play baseball because I actually wanted to preach.
Really?
Yes, I really wanted to preach. I did. But the thing, it came to me, the fact that my baseball would have been a lot more effective preaching during baseball.
Really?
And letting everybody know that this guy is genuine, this guy is real, this guy loves Jesus, this guy is on fire in two different ways. I'm on fire for God, I'm also on fire for baseball.
Baseball, man. That's so awesome. Okay, so we're going to skip ahead just a little bit. Okay, so your parents, they end up getting cancer.
Yes.
They were young.
Yes, they were.
Man, you want to talk about tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. How old were they?
47 and 49.
Wow.
At the same time.
That's when you lost them?
Yeah, I lost my father at 49. My mother had a brain tumor that she actually lived. She made it through.
Okay.
Through the surgery. And then she did have to have another one after that. But she made it through. But I did lose my father, my love.
Did you feel like, man, part of your reason for even being here was gone?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you sound like your dad was the man. Like he was.
He was the man. He was just the ultimate.
He's your hero.
Man.
He's my hero.
How old were you when you lost him?
I was 23.
Yeah. Man, so he never really.
Still a kid.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, I guess if there's a blessing in there, he did see you grow up and persevere and get
through.
Yes,
he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, man, what a legacy. I mean, but how sad is it, Rocky, that both of his parents at the same time get cancer? I don't care how old you are, but at this point in your 20s, you're still trying to figure out your.
Yeah, man. You know, there's just no explanation. It's got a Job feel to it, a Paul feel to it. You know, I'm not sure what his problem was, but he had some sort of infirmity that bothered him. And I think God can see the scope of eternity, and it's really so irrelevant to him.
Yeah.
Because this is literally a wisp, a blink of an eye, and we're gone. But how you handle the things that are thrown at you are, I really think that's something that God is concerned with and cares about. And putting that kind of pain into the life of somebody like you, it's hard to understand.
I mean, it's just, yeah.
But it's also not really our job to understand.
No.
It's our job to follow orders. We're not the general.
How did they tell you? Where were you when they told you that they had cancer?
I was with my father. I was right outside the door. They came out and told us that he had 3 to 9 months to live.
And, was it during the season?
Yeah, it was during the off season, and you know, my baseball at the time meant nothing to me. And then my mother had just gone through her brain surgery, and it was successful.
So you found out about your mom before?
Yes, before my father.
Did it take all the wind out of your sails?
It sure did. It made me hate God.
Oh,
man. I hated the plans that I thought that, you know, in Jeremiah 29:11, what it talks about. I hated the fact that those plans were not the plans I had.
You have harmed me in so many ways.
Yeah.
What is this, some kind of a cruel joke?
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Pretty much.
Yeah, like, why, God?
Yeah.
Why me? You had this wonderful plan. We were going to have a church, and I was going to play baseball, and we were going to reach people.
Yeah, and me playing baseball, I'd always everybody, I'm the only one that didn't curse on the team. I'm not saying I was a citizen, because I'd love to fist fight. You know, I would love that. That I loved.
Baseball players are a different breed.
Yeah, they are.
You're right. You don't want to fight a baseball player. Those guys are crazy.
You don't want to fight them.
They're explosive.
Yeah, they are explosive. We are. I just love to fight because I knew I was always going to win in the end. and I knew that. And I knew that a punch couldn't even hurt me. It never hurt me.
Is it? Is it in the movie when your parents passed away?
No, it's not. It's not in there.
It's not in that part. Okay, so man, you guys need to do a part two or something.
Yeah,
you know,
they really do because they've missed so much. They're talking about even doing a series now.
Really?
Oh man, this got Netflix written all over it, dude. Yeah.
There's so much content that's totally missed. Yeah. There's so much that they could last for 10 years.
Yep.
You had to retire from baseball early.
Yeah, I didn't plan on it. I was going to second base, dove in second base head first, and then could not walk out. I had no legs.
What? That was it.
Spring training. What happened was that I had no disc.
I mean, but was there a, did it hurt something or pound?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it did.
Now, did you have any surgeries before you played?
No. I didn't have the surgeries for my spine then.
Okay, gotcha.
I mean, I've had a grand total right now of around 49, but.
Surgeries. Good gosh, Rocky.
And
crazy.
Other things too, you know, other things and just general. But saying that, I had gone into spring training, and I can't even tell you what actual year that was. But I was going to spring training, and when I dove in head first and second base, which I normally don't dive in head first at all, I don't because of that reason.
Mm.
Because I don't know what's going to happen with my back at that time. Because, see, people didn't understand. They didn't know. No one knew this. I never, ever slept in a bed. I slept in the floor.
That's right.
With my feet on top of the bed, my legs curled on top of the bed. I slept in the floor every night.
Do you still sleep like that?
Real close. I do now. I'm having some issues right now, but
man,
because of a car wreck. No, I didn't ever have to for 16 years, 17 years, because this major surgery that I had, I mean, the surgery was $550,000. And to have the surgery done by this German doctor that's a phenom.
Yep.
He gave me life again.
Wow.
He gave me so much life again that I could even play golf.
Hey, by the way, he is going to give me some golf lessons.
I have a ankle surgeon that I feel that way about that I couldn't have walked had it not been for him from a really bad motorcycle wreck. Mm-hmm. And I still remember everything about him. I can't Good believe. Dude. Yeah, I just wow. can't believe he did that. I'm so grateful. Weekly, I think about him. Yeah.
Hey, Dr. Michael Huo for me. My
30
guy
years
with
ago.
My hip,
yep.
So. Okay, so we skipped over some stuff here, obviously. So you were drafted by the Montreal Expos.
Well, actually, the truth be known, when I went to the Major League Baseball camp, 700 ball players are there. 700 players are there. They got four or five baseball fields going on. And because I can't run, I go to the very last field where no one can get to see me.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I go to the last one because they're looking mainly, this is baseball, they look for speed.
Speed.
You know that, and
yes.
I know that.
Yes.
Okay, because you played ball as well.
It's a big deal.
They look for speed. And if you don't have the speed, you're kind of like out, unless you've got a great – distance with a home run,
mm-hmm.
or
you could throw a ball 90 it from the mound.
Yeah, exactly. If you could throw 90 and up from the mound, 90, yeah. 92, at least
yeah.
92.
Yeah, 92 nowadays.
At least 92 these days.
Yeah.
Or you had a great slider or something
yep.
like that. You're not wanted. But having said that, I was on the fifth field, and actually this is where all the movie starts. Right here.
Really?
Yeah.
So you may have to go see the movie to catch the rest
of it. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because, I mean, you know, you played in the independent league for a little bit, then you're down in Mexico.
I was in Mexico, Venezuela. I was in Puerto Rico. Yeah. I played in all the winter balls.
Gosh, could you imagine the competition that he was playing against, Rocky? Because nowadays, every Major League Baseball player comes from every place that you just named.
We've had some top athletes on the show, and we both know some, and I'm curious about your perspective about this. They have all said the same thing to me. And when I asked about, I was talking to a pitcher, and I said, okay, you're in the World Series. The entire world is watching you. Yeah. You're about to throw a pitch, which is one of the most complicated things you can do.
Yeah.
How in the world do you go to the place where you can actually do that without just completely screwing it all up because you're so nervous?
You know, it's interesting. The times that they needed me the most was the times that I was less nervous. It's the time that I had no fear.
Really?
Yeah. When they needed me the most is when I had no fear and had more comfortability than ever before, because I loved the challenge of a pitcher throwing to me and knowing that I'm going to deck him. Mm. You know, it's just
he didn't care about the surrounding. He was, you know, we talked about it yesterday at lunch. It's like you're playing chess. Everyone else is like paying attention to all this other stuff, but you're paying attention to the pitcher and you're playing chess with the pitcher.
That's correct. That's right.
Gosh, Rocky.
What
an incredible, incredible story.
Did you ever have a moment where you reflected back on a situation and thought, or maybe in the middle of the situation where you felt like everything slowed down, maybe when there was a 90 mile an hour fastball coming at you, or do you relate to that?
No. I never even thought about it, to be honest with you, because I didn't even go the technical ways that they tried to make us do on certain technical ways. I just did it my way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
I did it the old Frank Sinatra way. Mm-hmm. You know? I just did it my way.
Yeah.
And by the way, the best thing that I had happen to me, when I signed this major league contract, out of those 700 ball players, we skipped a lot there.
Yeah.
About what happened. I'm on the fifth field. And, in fact, I can tell you this. I would love to tell you this, so you'll know.
Yeah,
I did get cut. All right, was cut from.
Yeah.
Actually, what happened was the fifth field ended, the fourth field ended, the third field ended, and anybody who has worked their way up to the first field would get there. They'd get there to the first field.
Oh, so you're.
So then you have one last finale game. Mm. With the best 18 ball players that are out there.
I see.
20 pitchers and the other 16 ball players that are out on the field. Okay, 20 pitchers and the other 16 ball players that are out on the field.
What?
For the big night. And then the whole city would come out from Texas A&M to Blinn Junior College. All of them the stadium is packed.
What a moment.
One huge big game.
Wow.
It's so huge. Well, what happened was about 12:30 that day, the ending day, it's a three-day camp, I'd already hit five home runs out of the park on the other field, and they never moved me I was limping because I just got out of surgery, you know, and I went there. I just tore my cast off and went to the camp.
Oh, because your foot.
Yeah, my foot tore it off.
Holy!
And so I went to the camp, but I could still hit.
Yeah,
couldn't run fast, you know, with a limp.
Don't really need to when you hit out of the park,
right? You don't really need to, and the thing is, guys, I'd been out of season, but I had just picked up my even more power, skipping a season, and then I hit five out, and that wasn't good enough to get me over to field one, the main field for the big finale game, right? And so I had taken off. This is the starting of the movie. I had taken off, and I turned around. I heard God telling me to turn around and go back. And I'd already thrown my glove and thrown my bat out the window because I was done.
Yeah.
It was over with. And so
literally.
And I had wound up going back. I went to because you couldn't get in the field one without a certain color tag. And so I climbed over the wall. It's 10-foot wall. I climbed over the 10-foot wall.
Of course you did.
Yep. I took a drop. I went up to the mound, and I walked up to Red Murph, which was, you know, the signer of Nolan Ryan and other guns with talent.
So just to clarify something, he's talking about the scout that found Nolan Ryan.
That's correct.
Which is Red Murph.
Right.
If you look him up, there's some great interviews with him. He's
shut up, Richard. Gosh, he's in the middle of a story.
Incredible. Nolan Ryan's my favorite player of all time.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
Yeah, Nolan Ryan.
But I was wanting to bring some context to it because what he says matters.
What he says matters, exactly.
How he feels about a ball player is incredibly important.
Very, very important.
So he said some pretty interesting...
So Red, when I entered the mound, I looked up at Red, and because he's standing on... He's already 6 foot six, and him standing on top of a mound makes him about 8 foot, 8 foot 12 or 10,
right.
foot, 10 foot 12 or whatever.
A fairly imposing figure.
Yeah, yes. Pretty much I'm looking straight up at him, and I tapped him on the shoulder, and he turned around and he looked at me, and this is true. It's not even in the movie. They should have put it in this way, but they didn't. So that's why I'll go ahead and say it. I looked at Red and I said, Red, I just wanted to, my name is Ricky Hill. And he goes, I know, I scouted you in high school. And I thought, well, wow, that's neat. He scouted me in high school. I didn't know that.
Wow.
And he said, what's wrong with you? And I said, well, I got a bum leg right now, but it will be fixed before it's over. Soon it will be fixed. You know, you give me 3 or 4 months, it'll be ready.
Uh-huh.
And so he said, so what can I do for you? I said, well, I just wanted to let you know. And this is a big, huge thing in my life where I'm getting ready to say. I said, I don't even know why I said this because I'm not that cocky at that time as a child. I said to him, I said, Red, I just want to let you know that the best hitter in this camp is going home. And I said, it's a shame. You're never going to get to see it.
Mm.
And he looked me kind of like you did just then. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, if your bat is in tune with your tongue, you're a hell of a hitter.
Mm.
He said, I've heard this several times in my lifetime from all kinds of people.
Crazy.
He said, I've heard this from everybody in my lifetime, and not one person's ever performed. Not one. Not one person's ever performed.
Yeah.
And he said, all of a sudden, the scouts standing behind us were doing, you know, different type of signs saying, get him off the field, get him out of here, he doesn't belong here, all this stuff. And Red looked over at my scout that scouted me that day earlier, and he said, can he hit, by the way? And he goes, "Woo, he can hit all right." And he goes, well, why didn't you send him over? He said, because he can't run. I like my job. And so saying that, he said, you know what, son, I don't know what it is about you. You know, you're telling me you're the best hitter here. Is that what you're telling me? He said, you honestly think you're the best hitter here? And I said, no, sir. I know I am. He said, tonight, you come back. I'm going to let you designate hit for both pitchers.
Wow.
Which is huge.
Big deal.
Huge.
Well, that's where the God told you to go back moment comes into play.
Exactly. Wow. Exactly. God told me to go back, and I listened. And
Nine times out of ten, he would have said, get off my field.
Absolutely. Well, when I walked up to the mound, here's what he said. This is really interesting. I walked to the mound. He goes, you know where you're standing? He doesn't even, you know, recognize me at all. I said, no, sir, I don't. He goes, you're standing on the hill. I think about that.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Wow. As a matter of fact, I am.
Wow.
The hill.
The hill, the movie.
That's right. That's what I'm standing on, the hill. That's where it all was choreographed and put together right there.
If you want to see what happens next, you're going to have to go watch the movie. It, look, in all due respect, he can't. This is an audio podcast. There's no way that you can put this into right. context. You know what I mean? Like, you just, you, the visual, the, so go see the movie.
Yeah.
Gosh, Ricky, unbelievable. Your life, your story, your passion, your dedication, your commitment, unbelievable.
Yeah. We want to encourage everyone to go see that movie and tell your friends. Man. This yeah, is going to be big. Yeah, spread the word. This is going to be something. Something yeah. special. I think this yeah. could be the next Blind Side.
Oh, it is.
I really do. Clearly, I think it could be that.
Yeah.
Dennis Quaid, man.
Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, the fact that he wanted to be the lead, or not.
He's a hell of a lead actor, but he's even a better person. He's a great human.
He really is.
He had a big transformation. He wasn't always.
No, he wasn't like that.
And that's awesome that he played your dad, who had a similar. I mean, he didn't have to act.
Yeah.
You know what I loved about it when I met him? He said, I know everything about the script. He said, let me tell you what you were. He said, Ricky, you were Isaac, and your dad was Abraham.
Huh.
And we know the story of Abraham yeah. and Isaac.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Abraham.
And he went on to go
be the father of all generations.
Well, yeah, but he was going to sacrifice him.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. He was going to. Sacrifice him as a lamb.
Wow.
And so, but he said, your dad put you through sacrificial things. And he said, but look what happened.
Yeah.
Look what God did.
Man. Wow.
Wow. Ricky, thank you. Seriously, your story and everything that you have gone through in your life is just...
We have to have him back on, Rich. This was great. I'm so glad you came.
I know.
Thank you so much.
And look, we will, because, you know, his life, obviously, he's lived the whole life after that. I mean, it's like, you know, how his impact. It's
after
it's,
the movie. He's not going to return our calls.
No.
Too big.
You're right. You're not.
Hey, hey, Ricky. You're right.
I'm not returning your calls. Why should I when I'm moving in?
All right.
Ricky, it's Rich again. Hey,
Hey, Rahe, I just want to let you know, this is Rich again. Hey, Rich, by the way, I'm upstairs. You're going to come down up here.
When's dinner ready, man?
Hey, babe, you're going to help me get down the stairs?
Man, thank you. Seriously, you're awesome. Ricky,
thanks for having me.
I love when we could tell these stories, Rocky.
Yeah, because, like, I know. Me too.
You know, it makes me feel like, it's like, you just feel inferior. Like, man, I've been healthy my whole life. Like, what the hell did I do?
Man.
You know what I mean? Like.
You
got to put in the effort.
Well, that kind of adversity is just—it's just a proving ground, and
that's right.
There's something really special about
it. It absolutely is. So go see the movie, The Hill. It'll be out August 25th. So this is coming out. Well, we're recording. Actually, happy birthday, Bert.
Thank you. Yesterday.
So yesterday was Rocky's birthday. Actually,
Leo.
So,
Leo.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. So he's what are you? 97. You look great for 97.
Yeah, yeah. I'm 97.
Yeah,
97. Jackass.
Yeah.
Well, when people ask me about my age and stuff, well, I always say, well, I was born in 1802. I don't know about you.
There you go, Rocky.
I don't feel all 55. Right.
No, he, Rocky, actually, dude, I was looking at your legs earlier. Dude, are you working out?
Yeah, I've been working out for, I think it's actually just finally starting to kind of, man. Show up, because I've been working out for a year.
No, you look great, though.
Thanks.
Seriously, I was looking at his legs. I'm like, man, where did he get some thighs? All right. Well, Rocky, that's all I got. Once again, go see The Hill. It comes out August 25th. You're going to be doing a premiere in Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah, 23rd, we have a premiere in Augusta, yeah. Georgia. The saddest part of all about this premiere is that because of the strike.
Yeah.
You know, it's our.
He's actors. Talking about the right actors.
I wasn't sure if we could mention that. I'm glad you said that.
Yes, because of the strike, I can mention all I want because I'm not a member of the guild.
Right.
Yeah, but
so I can say anything I want it to be.
Yeah,
But because of the strike, it's really affected us tremendously when our main actors can't even go out
and promote
the film.
Yeah. They go get on night shows and
they do the circuit. They call everywhere. They call it the circuit. They get out there and they just hit the streets. Basically,
I will tell you the neatest thing that just happened. I'm leaving here, getting ready to go to Oklahoma University. Toby Keith is putting a big event on for us.
Yep.
There'll be about 1,000 people come in. 336, 336, and 336 are coming in for three different screenings of the film.
Yeah.
And Toby Keith's putting it on. Chick-fil-A's putting it on. And that's coming up closely. I've got, you know, other events I'm going to. I'm on several podcast shows. I'm on several radio shows.
Well, yeah, and you're throwing the ball out, the first pitch for several teams.
Yeah, for several teams, yeah.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
And I'm excited to be working with you doing this. I just can't, I'm like, man, baseball, you know me with baseball.
I know, you're already a baseball freak.
Yeah, I mean, so it's like, for me, I'm like, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
All right.
So, Ricky, we love you. Thank you.
Thank you.
For doing this. And, yeah, spread the word, The Hill.
On that note, Rockin' Rich out.
We'll see you guys next week. Well, may see you in a couple weeks. We usually take some time.
Yeah.
Summertime. So.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We'll see you guys later.
Thank you.